if we had a transcript of all your conversations from this past week, would there be any conversations you'd be going, ooh, I hope they don't read that one? Paul wants to talk about that today in 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Yeah, you're listening Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
Junior.
And that's a pretty good opening there, Junior. The trouble is, I think all of us are thinking, man, I can think of a lot of things I said this last week that I wish I could take back.
Yep, absolutely. Let's be different after this text then.
All right, verse 1. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So we should always be thinking about future generations, that even the difference that we make in the lives of the people that we're talking to most, we should be thinking more about who they're going to pass this on to, that it's multiple generations down the road. Right now, that's the focus of my ministry, is the next generation and how they're going to affect the generation following them. Verse 3, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers, don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, or they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize because they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I am saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. Great analogy for any minister. We talked about this last week as well, those three analogies, the soldier, the athlete, the hardworking farmer. Yeah. That's how we're to be as God's workmen.
Well, I find that verse 4 is interesting. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. They cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And I think sometimes leaders, I'm not just talking about pastors, though in context he's just talking about pastors, but leaders can often be baited into just the little dramas that go on underneath them. And then things just begin to spiral.
And even maybe in a greater way, that talking to us as believers, that our ultimate master is our God and our ultimate home is heaven, that we can get so caught up in silly little things that are going on in today's day that isn't going to matter at all when we step out into eternity. It's eternity that matters. Verse 8, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. That's Jesus' resurrection. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be changed. So I've been put in prison because I've been faithful, but the word of God is continuing to be spread. So I'm willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. What an attitude that he has here, that he's willing to endure anything for this. And of course, in Philippians, he talks about how many of the temple guard had become believers because of his testimony when he was in chains. So he saw, all right, there's actually a good thing that I have been put in prison.
We have our friend Ralph, an elder at the Bridge, and he's been just struggling with some health stuff, even as of late, and it's very frustrating. And I talked to him on the phone. Yeah. And I was sharing this with my girls the other day, but he had said, I don't understand why this keeps happening and I've got to go in for another procedure. Mm-hmm. But he said, but if God is having me do this so that I can have an impact on the doctors and the nurses that I'm around, then that's fine.
Yeah, and he's so faithful in witnessing and praying for them.
And that was Paul's attitude here, is that our attitude with all the little inconveniences that we face in life is that, well, maybe God's doing something here and bringing us to something.
Yeah. All right, this is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. You want to pick it up in verse 14?
Remind everyone about these things and command them in the presence of God to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them.
What a theme. I mean, man, we heard this over and over in 1st and 2nd Timothy. There must have been a lot of silly arguments in Ephesus.
Yeah. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid work.
That's actually the theme verse for Awana. That's where they get that. Because the old King James said a workman. Let me see again, because it's out of the old King James. Awana is a worker and not ashamed. Yeah. Yeah. It comes out of that verse.
Well, that was also like etched into the school in Moody, the Bible college that I went to.
Oh, really?
Etched in, on the way to class. I always read that verse on the way to class. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case with Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work.
Do you guys have good dishes and everyday dishes, or you just have all the same?
I just have all the same.
Yeah, I think that was a thing of the previous generation.
Like the china and stuff?
Yeah, well, actually, when your mom and I were married, we were given china. We had china at one time. We never used it and haven't had it now for years. I think it wound up at Goodwill.
Oh, I've had people offer us china. I'm like, what are we going to do with that?
Yeah,
like,
it's breakable.
I don't even think we're going to use that on like nice days. Like, we're fine.
We have
a regular plate.
Yeah, we have good dishes and we have paper plates.
There you go. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments. Again, this is the third time in this chapter alone.
This chapter. This
ignorant, foolish arguments that only starts fights. Sometimes, I mean, I had my talk with a couple of my daughters about this. It's just like, in life, and this is going to happen in adulthood too, you're just constantly invited into these arguments. It's like, this is just a dumb argument. And why are we going to take part in that?
Yeah.
A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be patient with difficult people. It's something that I need to work on. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, we don't want to be falling into the trap of the evil one and wind up doing what he wants instead of what God wants.
Yeah.
And it's very, very easy to get hauled into that trap. In fact, I think the proverb for today speaks a little bit about this. We're in Proverbs 26. So if you want to flip your Bibles over to Proverbs 26. And the verse here says in verse 10, seems so very practical, but... And I think it's a twofold message here for us. An employer, it says, an employer who hires a fool or a bystander is like an archer who shoots recklessly. And he's using this imagery of an archer who is just shooting the arrows out. And those arrows, by the way, those arrows in that day, we think of them as not, you know, no big deal. But for them, arrows were very expensive. It took a lot of work to be able to make them, to sharpen them, to put the feathering in them. So every arrow mattered. And someone who was just recklessly shooting is throwing away money. He's saying that's what you do when you hire the wrong person. But then I think this speaks well to employers about how important it is to be wise in your hiring. But also, I think it speaks to us. Am I a wise hire? Am I the kind of person that would be the arrow just being shot recklessly because I've pulled one over on the people who hired me?
Or do I make the most of every opportunity they give me, which is like an arrow? Making the most of each arrow. Are you making the most of each thing that's delegated to you?
Yeah.
That's good.
So you're the absolute best. I mean, I think Christians should be the best employers on the job. You ought to be the best person who works your job. Yeah. And is that how the rest of the workforce views you?
Right.
It's a good question to ask ourselves because that is our Christian testimony. It really is. People aren't going to care about what you have to say if they don't have any respect for the way you work.
That's good.
Okay, right. What special day is it today besides Friday? I mean, just the fact that it's Friday makes it a special day.
Today is Get Organized Day, which I did actually this weekend. You know, you and I, we changed the oil on our motorcycles.
Yeah, you cleaned out the cars and all that stuff.
And it wasn't your fault, but we spilled oil all over the garage floor.
Well, it kind of was. I didn't get the oil, you know, the filter. I couldn't, it didn't have the right part to it where I could not get it tightened down. And so I started the thing up and oil was everywhere.
Actually, it was all right though, because after doing like a kitty litter thing, you know, I ended up spraying the garage floor down with water, cleaned it out, got it all organized. So I feel good now.
And got all the oil off.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I told the girls, like, hey, you know what? Maybe when we're living here 20, 30 years from now, I should be like, remember when Papa left that mark there?
our dear old Papa who's been gone now.
But yeah, go get organized. Summer's on the way. And that was kind of fun after like the weekend of organizing. It's like, all right, I'm ready for the summer. Everything's good and ready to go. And
nothing feels better than to know that everything is in its proper place.
That's right.
You can find it again because it's where it should be.
That's right. All right, go get organized.
And we'll see you in church this Sunday. I'm excited that it's Friday because I don't have the weekend off like a lot of people. But, you know, I take Mondays off for the most part.
Yeah.
But I love going to church. I just love being with God's people. I really do. And so I'm looking forward to being with a lot of you this weekend. And hopefully we'll see you there.
Not me. I don't.
Well, we're always at a different campus. When's the last time we've been in the same location?
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been at least maybe, 6, 7 years?
Yeah, because we travel around to different campuses and speak at different places.
Right.
Well, God bless. It was good being with you again. We'll see you here again on Monday. But in the meantime, hopefully we'll see you in church this weekend.
Make it a good weekend.